For me, finding clarity means taking a step back, sometimes going for a walk around the block, grabbing yourself a quick coffee, whatever it is, just to remove yourself from the issue, and then come back and refocus. I think your brain gets to a point where it just shuts down. You need to get that clarity by stepping aside. And, you know, we talk often, and I share this with my teams, about slowing down to speed up. So you need to catch your breath to make a really great decision and a clear decision on the way forward.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent, for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. With thanks to our partner, Connect Now, Elevate brings you the best tools, thinking and strategies to elevate your results. For more information about how Connect Now can make moving easier for your clients, visit connectnow.com.au. And to get new episodes of Elevate directly to your inbox, sign up at eliteagent.com/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, hey everyone, it's Sam here. Today we're going to be joined by Rachel Atkin, a true gem in the world of property management. With 20 years of experience, Rachel has built an impressive career marked by business growth and exceptional customer service. Her journey through various leadership roles has given her a big understanding of the industry, but what really sets Rachel apart is her holistic approach to property management. So she's not just about managing properties, she's all about empowering teams and driving growth and ensuring compliance with that ever-changing legislation, particularly in Victoria where she's based. So whether you're looking to grow your rent roll, improve your leadership skills, or simply stay ahead of the curve in property management, you're in for a treat. So Rachel, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, Sam. Excited to be here.
Oh, well, I'm excited to finally get you here. It's taken us long enough, I think, between your travel and mine. Because we met like way back in, I think, was it May at the Harcourts one?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I really loved your presentation, actually. And that's what led me to getting you here, because you were so real about how things really are. Like, you know, what you see on social media and what people often say about property management isn't half of the story. And I could definitely relate to that. So we'll get into that in a second. But you've had 20 years in property management.
I have. It's 20 years this year. Hard to believe.
Yeah. And you don't look a day over fabulous. So you must have started when you were 10 or something like that. But what initially drew you into property management, and how's your career evolved over the years?
Yeah. I think for me, Sam, the interesting thing is when I started in real estate, I actually started thinking that I'd love to be a salesperson. So strange that I've ended up in PM, but I'm very grateful that I did. So I spent a lot of time in the business development space, and that's always been a passion of mine. I think as a sole parent at that time, it was tricky for me to do the hours that were required while I was raising a young family. So it was really great to be able to do business development and all things growth. But like everybody else, you know, we fall into real estate, started at reception and took a leap from there.
Yeah, amazing. So now you're at Harcourts. Can you tell me a little bit about your role there?
Yeah, so I started with Harcourts back in March this year, actually, so nearly 6 months now, and it's been fabulous. My role here is property management operations manager, so I look after all of the franchise offices here in Vic and help all of the directors and their PM teams grow. We do training, consulting, coaching, and we have a fabulous network of really amazing humans.
Yeah. I mean, what's going on in Victoria at the moment with the legislation? You know, more so than I think anywhere in Australia, legislation constantly changing. Like, what are the main sort of challenges that you're finding you're dealing with down there at the moment?
Oh, that's a good question. I think we had a massive weather event yesterday, so that's always a challenge in itself. But well done to those that got through the maintenance and the backlog. I think, you know, some of the state legislation changes that came in 2021 with the Vic reforms, we're well and truly embedded with those now. It's more, you know, with the CAV task force that's out in action now, really looking to make sure people are running compliant properties, doing all of the mandatory checklists for safety and to ensure that our tenants have healthy homes. So lots on.
Yeah. And there's never a dull moment actually in property management in general. So I'm interested to know, what does a day in the life of Rachel look like? What are some of the things that you sort of talk about in a day-to-day basis?
That's a great question. So I spend probably a balance of my week, 3 days a week are on the road in offices or delivering training, and 2 days a week are in head office. So we have a theory that if we're not in our offices working with our teams, then we're actually not delivering the right level of service for our corporate head office. It's all about partnering with our business owners and their teams. So for me, that's really important. So I could be doing anything from one-on-one consulting with the director, talking about rent roll acquisition, through to doing entry-level PM, onboarding a new PM to their team. We obviously run corporate training days as well. But for me, you know, it's breakout sessions, it's training on the go, it's being part of the property management and business development team meetings to see where we can add value.
Yeah, amazing. And so you mentioned rent roll hypergrowth strategies as one of your favorite topics. Can you just explain what this means and what are some of the key strategies that you can share for growing a rent roll and growing a rent roll quickly?
Yeah, look, I think some of the rent rolls I've been involved in building in the past, I've had very little marketing spend, next to nothing. And I think we can all relate, anyone who's started building a rent roll from scratch. For me, it's about connecting with everybody and seeing the potential in every opportunity without having that sort of real estate approach that we all know. I think when we show care and compassion and interest in people and what they're doing, I always say, be curious, be interested and be interesting. They're my three top tips to anybody in business development. I think it's important that we understand what it is that that person is trying to achieve through their real estate journey and partner with them. Let's not go into that hardcore sales tactics. I think when you align yourself with someone, people want to do business with people that they know, like, and trust. And for me, that's the best foundation for not just business with them, but also that repeat and referral business in the future.
Yeah, I do remember that in your talk. There were some really interesting referral sources that you used early in your career. Would you mind sharing some of the less likely ones?
Yeah, my favorite, I think we touched on it, was, you know, going to the local community markets on the weekend, taking my fluffy little dog, Spike, at the time. He'd be wrapped up in all of the franchise branding that we had. And of course, you know, kids love to come and pat a dog. So by default, mum and dad came to get the child away from the dog. And it would be a great relaxed way to start up conversation with your local network. And just really immersing yourself in the community, not as a real estate agent, but as a human. They can see that I've got a life outside of work. But, you know, if we happen to talk about real estate, that's a great thing.
Yeah, it's like, let's find that lady with the cute dog.
Yeah, and it works. He was cute too. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So as someone who is all about the people, and property management has been in the headlines a lot for the last couple of years for things like wellness, health, culture, that sort of thing. What are the sort of things that you think are important to empower your team and foster positivity among the workplace?
I think it's a really topical thing that you raised there, Sam. It is about wellness and certainly about balance for our teams. We're actually running our PMX Vic conference in September this year. So we get the whole of the Harcourts network together. We're actually focusing on psychological safety and building mental well-being. And safety, not just within your own life, but within your teams at work and with your clients. So that means to get to that high performance level, we need to feel like we belong. We need to feel safe and we need to show up authentically and vulnerably so that we can be the best version of ourselves. So there's going to be a huge focus on that. And I think that's so critical to make sure that you get longevity in this industry. I think we've all seen the turnover in recent times of property management staff. When you can put your own oxygen mask on first, it means you can actually contribute at a different level and deliver differently for your clients and be a better teammate and employee. So yeah, definitely a priority and focus.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the other thing that you kind of wrote down in your notes before we chatted is that you're all about keeping things simple, which I love. Sometimes we can all overcomplicate things. Tell me, like, an example of something that you've seen that has been overly complex in your career and then turn that into something that was much simpler and maybe even much better for the customer.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point that you raised there and a great question. But it's funny, you know, when we say keep it simple, we forget to be a human first. So for me, it's about sometimes you need to take a step away from what you're doing because you're too close to the issue or to the problem. I often find in this role currently, we have like a property management help and support line, which is essentially my mobile number. And I love the team calling me. Sometimes they're working through a solution. They're three quarters of the way there, but there's just a blocker because they either have bias around the relationships with that particular rental provider or the renter and just can't see clarity. You know, we have some people that work in very small teams or one-on-one, so it's great for them to have an extra support. But for me, finding clarity means taking a step back, sometimes going for a walk around the block, grabbing yourself a quick coffee, whatever it is, just to remove yourself from the issue. and then come back and refocus. I think your brain gets to a point where it just shuts down. You need to get that clarity by stepping aside. And, you know, we talk often, and I share this with my teams, about slowing down to speed up. So you need to catch your breath to make a really great decision and a clear decision on the way forward.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, I had one of your colleagues actually from New South Wales, Katrina Tarrant, on the podcast a couple of weeks back. Yeah, she's a fan. We talked about property management in terms of the future, because what you just said there is what we all know, is that property managers end up in the middle of often high conflict situations. And that's the job, because you can't manage people and you can't predict emotions. Unfortunately, emotions are so unpredictable. But do you think we'll ever get to a point where technology might play a bit of a role? Like, Katrina's got a bit of a vision for the future where things might actually get better for property managers.
I do. I think if we can look at those structures, and, you know, a pod might include anything from a remote professional these days through to using tech and AI to help support those repeatable tasks that we do as property managers. For me, I think we'll never lose that critical part, which is the relationship. So if we can free up our property managers within the network and certainly within the industry to really be relationship builders, to be human, to build those connections at a deeper level, you know what, we actually transition then into a professional services industry rather than a reactive environment. We can get proactive with getting to the crux of why they own a property. What can we do differently? How can we service you better? You know, all of the questions we want to ask. And genuinely, I think there's a spirit of wanting to deliver that level of service, but there's not been the ability for people to see their way through the workload. So I think the combination of tech with remote professionals and certainly the human element is the key moving forward to significant growth in businesses.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there a piece of impactful tech that you've come across in the last couple of years, certainly? Because I'm sure that, like everyone else, you're sort of feeling the, wow, there's all this stuff going on. Is there anything that's your favourite, and what are you guys doing to utilise it?
Personal note, I saw one today that's about a robot that might be able to do housework. So that would be amazing. Saw something for Neo or something.
Yeah.
So that would be amazing. Yeah. But the tech within the property, that would be great. Cook the dinner. No, I think for property management, I did a meeting with one of my clients on Friday, actually, who hadn't seen ChatGPT. And it was just the free version of ChatGPT. So stepping those team members through how they can use that just to do those repeatable emails that come through, that was really mind-blowing for them. But I think as we start to explore tools, it's going to get much bigger than ChatGPT, obviously. But, you know, even to get familiar with tech at that level, there's so many other versions of AI, though, as you well know, being an ambassador in that space, you know, that we don't even realize we're using every day. And I think that's really exciting for our future in PM.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too. Changing lanes for a second, building personal brands. I feel like that's gathering a bit of steam in property management at the moment. You know, you've got some interesting coaches out there at the moment, like Sarah Kincotta and Hermione Gardner and people like that. Is that going to become a bit of a trend where we see more property managers front and centre? Because that was always like the realm of salespeople, but I'm interested to know where Harcourts are going with that.
Yeah. You know, we love the idea of property management being of equal standing, you know, within the business setting. We are all there to achieve the outcomes for our clients. So property management and business development, certainly more so, I think, is starting to shift. There's understanding that we need for people to understand who we are so that there's social proof out there for repeat and referral business. For me, you know, Instagram plays a very big part in what we're doing within the Harcourts PM space. And it helps you build, you know, in the last 6 months, I've had to connect with the network very swiftly. And I feel like I've been able to do that, not just within Vic, but across our various states of Harcourts, to really connect in with other offices so that we can all share what we're great at. I think, you know, when we all come together as one team, it's something phenomenal. So that digital space, that building social proof, it's important, though, I think, not just to do the work on social media, it's important to do the work and back it up in person. So I think there's a very big gap between, you know, they say those who can't do teach. I think there's a happy medium somewhere in the middle, though, where there's this love of sharing all things social, but the desire to back it up and actually leave a legacy. So for me, that's very much where I sit at the moment. There's so much up here that I want to get across to the industry to make sure that we've got, you know, people who see this as a lifetime career, as an opportunity in an industry that can be very good to them, as it's been really good to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, you particularly, because I followed you on social media after watching you speak, you do have a really fun Instagram presence. What goes on when you're sort of thinking about what do I post and when and all of that sort of thing?
I like to profile other people. So while there's a little bit of me doing office visits or training, I like to see who's out there and give somebody a chance. You know, we've got a particular leasing agent who's just joined Harcourts within the last 12 months doing some exceptional work. And it's been really lovely to just shine a light on the quiet, considered, consistent work that he's been doing, to the point that he's now going to be one of our panelists at our PMX event, which he's super excited about. So really shining a light on people that do the work and can teach others what they're doing. You know, it all comes down to customer service and being a really good people person. I think 9 times out of 10, yes, it's a little bit about property, predominantly about people though.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get tactical now. Let's say I'm a property manager and I've been hanging around a business for a year and I've done a reasonable job at maintenance and things like that. And now I'm coming to you and I'm saying, Rachel, I want to do more. I want to be a BDM. What sort of advice would you give me if I was wanting to step up into that sort of a role?
I'd always recommend that they do a bit of shadowing with a BDM that may be in their office or somewhere nearby, someone that they've seen. I think it's important to walk a little bit in the shoes to make sure that we're not just chasing a job title or a certain salary, that we're actually chasing something that we're naturally good at and that brings joy and fulfillment to what we do. So that would be my first recommendation, to find someone. I can connect them with somebody to spend some time, you know, going to an appraisal with them, standing on the properties and talking to, you know, clients if they're doing the leasing side of things. So I think that is really important. But then there's also the ability to be a BDM within your portfolio as a property manager. And I think that's opportunities that we miss. And as we become more of those relationship builders, why not be a hybrid agent? You know, you can run this amazing asset, this incredible property management business within a business. You can watch that thing grow exponentially just by giving great service. And by default, that repeat and referral business comes your way just as a result of how you do what you do. So I think the tech, the AI will free us up, as I said, to have those conversations to really continue building that asset. So I'm a huge believer in a hybrid PM that's also a BDM in the future. I think the two can go hand in hand. It's not for everybody, but a BDM is really a salesperson that wants to secure the next deal, that's a hunter-gatherer. So you've got two styles of BDMs, I think, the relationship building BDMs and then those that really like to chase down and hunt a deal and get that phenomenal growth, that exponential growth. So I probably sat somewhere in the middle, love a good relationship, but I also love to run pretty fast and try and find opportunities where nobody else is looking, because they're by default a little bit lazy or they're just not organized enough to look in that space or follow up. Follow-up's critical.
Yeah. Follow-up is everything. So let's just say I did step into that BDM role, but I was like struggling a little bit. I love these little role plays. I seem to role play with all the experts in the industry, but let's just say I'm struggling a little bit. And the boss has just said to me, listen, you need to come up with 4 or 5 managements this month, because I think the struggle for a lot of people right now is the losing of managements with investors leaving and things like that. And so I've come to you and I'm going, Rachel, the boss wants me to pull in 5 this month. What are some of the immediate things that if I was in a bit of a, you know, a bit of a slump or a bit depressed because people are leaving the rent roll, what are some of the things that you would tell me that I'd sort of immediately need to focus on?
That's really great. I'd definitely recommend that they reach out to the sales team if they've got one within the business and ask for any open for inspection call sheets that they may have. Anybody who's been flagged as a prospective landlord, someone who may be a rent vester that they've met along the way as well from the property management side of leasing. Your best low-hanging fruit is within your business already. And I think that's what a lot of people don't recognize, is that, you know, get on the phone to your current investors, ask the question, have they got friends or family they can recommend if they're happy with the service? Connect with your local businesses, your accountants, your financial planners, lawyers, whoever it may be, conveyancers, all really good source of business. But really, I mean, if you needed to pull 5 deals quickly, I'd be calling every lead or every listing that you've appraised in the last 3 months. Even if it's listed with somebody else now, that's about the time where the service starts to go astray. that's some great low-hanging fruit as well, to call and say, hey, I'm still here. I still care about you. I understand that you didn't want to go with us initially, but what can I do differently? And how's your relationship going with your current agent? I can guarantee you they won't have had a call in the last 3 months, unless it was maintenance related, from the managing agent that secured that deal.
Yeah, amazing. That's my comment about not being able to, you know, often read the label when you're inside the jar, because we often get in our own heads and think, oh, you know, obviously they're happy. They didn't choose me and obviously they're happy, but sometimes that's just not the case at all.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is why it's so important that when we lose business, we're still grateful for the opportunity that we had, because it gives us permission to be able to go back. And I think those relationships are actually some of the most sticky. It's like when you turn a negative relationship or a bad service experience into a positive, they're likely to be your most referring clients. So definitely opportunity there.
And one more question. Let's just say still an inexperienced, struggling BDM, and my boss is asking me why I haven't sort of closed too many deals lately, and I'm saying it's from fees. Everyone's saying that the guy down the road is offering them a free month to sign on, and the other competition is like 2% lower than us. You know, they're obviously trying to buy managements. What would you arm me with to be able to really sell my value instead of caving like that? Caving's the wrong word. Well, it's competition, but you know, sometimes that's really rough. And I'm hearing that a lot, is that people are actually going in there with 0% fees.
We've heard some really low fees recently as well. And I think, you know, it's a shame for our industry that we're going down that path, but everybody has a reason for what they do business-wise. So I really think that when we're up against competition, the best thing we can do is shine brightly. You know, that comes through in your service, in going that extra mile, in being consistent, doing what we say we're going to do. But I think more so it's about the heat map of profitability. So for me, I always recommend that BDMs take the conversation away from fees, because anyone can talk about fees. When you've built the rapport and the great relationship, then you can talk about the heat map of profitability. Where does this business lie for me? If I was to do it at 5%, if I did it at 7 or 8%, what does that look like? And have a really clear understanding from your director as to what is that baseline and your recurring revenue amount that you want to achieve. And once you've got that, suddenly the fee conversation leaves in mind. You know, you're shooting for what's fair and reasonable for the business, what's fair and reasonable for the client. And then it's up to you as the BDM to work it back, build the trust, build the relationship, provide the education and knowledge around property investing and your property management service. How can they not look at going with you if you're providing a wealth of information and saying, you know, from the get-go, happy to talk about fees. But for us, the way we operate in business, it's less about fees and it's more about value. Is that something that you'd be interested in looking at further? Because I think there's a place that we can find that's fair and reasonable value for what we deliver and what's fair and reasonable for you to look at investing as a landlord.
Yeah, I love that. That's amazing. And I love the bit about shining a light of positivity and stuff like that, because I still think people will, you know, if they buy into that, they'll like you, and then that's half the battle, isn't it?
Definitely. And I genuinely, if you're in this industry and you think for a minute that it's not a great time to be in real estate, I remember John McGrath once said that, you know, that today is a great day to be in real estate. You actually have to believe it. You've got to be a student of the industry. You've got to keep educating yourself, and you've got to find a way through, whether it was the GFC back in the day for those of us that got through that. There's always going to be different challenges and market pressures. It's how we adapt that into our closing approach with clients. And it's always about sharing knowledge, sharing education, and then somebody walks away more informed. We've done our job. Even if we don't win the business there and then, we're more inclined to win the business down the track because we've provided information.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. Rightio, well, I'm going to leave my BDM problems there for a while and go back to being a podcast host. I mean, close with a couple of tactical questions, I guess. What are some specific books or podcasts or courses that you've done over your career or that you would recommend to other people to improve their either property management or leadership skills?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm more of a reader, sadly, and I don't get enough time to read. I should do that more. Cannot remember the author's name, and apologies, I believe he's Australian and you may know, but it was a book called Cut the Noise, and I talk about it so much, I should really give full credit to the author. But it's around just doing what needs to be done and forgetting the noise around us, you know, keeping very strategic, believing in what we need to do, to be successful. And in terms of leadership, for me, it's more about mirroring and learning from others. It's been a lot of reading of information, self-education along the way, but really finding people and unashamedly asking them if they'd spend time with me as a mentor, whether it's a quick phone call once a month or an accountability buddy. If it's someone who I identify as my style, they may not be anyone who's popular, who's published a book. There's obviously the amazing Warren Tate as well that talks a lot about communication. He works in our corporate head office. He's written a book on all things communication, and it really is the key to success. So huge advocate for Warren's books and information. But yeah, really just finding someone to leverage off and always be learning.
Yeah, good advice. What about work-life balance? Because I'm sure that you do a lot of hours with all the travel that you do. How do you maintain some semblance of a life outside of work?
I think it takes a bit of discipline, if we're honest. I think we all fall into the trap where there's weeks where we just do what we need to do. I think when you love what you do, though, there's less resentment around that. So that's why it's important that we do something that we are passionate about. For me, I'm very clear on my boundaries on the weekend, but I set a schedule where I'll check my mobile and emails for anything urgent sort of mid-morning on a weekend, again in the mid-afternoon and just before I go to bed. Sounds really baseline. People know that if it's not urgent, I'm likely not to respond, but I think it's important that we're always available. I don't advocate for people doing 24/7, particularly in PM, but you know, there's certain levels of role where we need to put in that extra effort. But my boundaries are pretty clear. At night time, I put my phone, for example, in a central charging spot in the house. I don't keep it next to my bed. Instead, I have an old-fashioned notepad and pen. So if I do wake up with an idea, there it is. But I definitely try to keep tech out of that space. And I make sure every morning I go for a walk. You know, I take the dog for a walk. I get some me time before I look at digital. And I think that's really important for me to be able to put my mask on and help others during the day.
Yeah, I love that. And you have given me like a smattering of them without realizing it. But the final question, I guess, is in property management, you can be swamped with things like things to do, task lists, full inbox, phones ringing, voicemails. It's all happening. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day. She said, I've got 120 voicemails. And I just went, oh, that is a lot. When you've got a mountain in front of you, where would you start to sort of start clearing the air, remove the overwhelm? Like, what's your favorite productivity tip?
Productivity hack is definitely look at what's urgent and important. I think if you look at that and minimize your list or your calls based on that, scan through, prioritize. If it's a high value client, you're going to know their name. You're going to jump on that one, obviously. If it's your leader, you know, that's a pretty high priority 9 times out of 10 as well. But I think having a really clear structure, minimizing your distractions as well. So turn off your notifications on your email if you're checking phone and voicemail. If you're doing an hour, always block out an hour of email task responses, an hour of callbacks, an hour of prospecting. I think if you work with that time blocking and be accountable to yourself about how you manage your time and your diary each day, that's where the productivity hacks come in. I think otherwise, you know, we feel like we're going from a crazy Mr. Messy kind of drawing, getting nothing done but feeling insanely busy, to suddenly going from A to Z because we're actually taking our time to work through each task in a block. And the world's not going to fall apart in that hour when you're focused on something else. And if it does, you'd hope that there's a system or process in place where you can have support around that too. So the one thing I do know about property management after all of these years is no one ever has a bad day on the same day in a team. So really be open and honest with your team about what you're doing, what your focus points are. A quick 5-minute all hands kind of meeting at the start of the day to set the tone is a really powerful hack as well for any leaders out there, just to see what the priorities are, how we can support each other through so we can get maximum productivity and output.
Yeah, I love that. That's a great tip, actually. No two people have a bad day the same day. Yeah, so true. Rachel, I just want to say a big thank you, huge thank you for coming and sharing 20 years of wisdom with us. And it's so great to get people in property management like you on the podcast because there are less of them in the industry. So I want to say thank you for sharing all of that wisdom with us. If there was one thing or one final piece of advice that you'd like to leave everyone with, what would it be?
Firstly, thanks for having me today. I feel so proud to represent this industry and certainly on behalf of Harcourts and the great work you do with us. Thank you. The one tip I'd leave behind is that, you know, and sorry for the blokes out there, but it's hard work in heels. It's not a glamorous job every day of the week. You know, we do have to roll our sleeves up, get amongst it, but just do and plan and put yourself first, have priorities and have boundaries. And you'll be surprised that as you do that more often, you actually gain respect from your clients because they understand you're a professional. You've got other clients to serve as well. So never be rude about it, obviously, but, you know, being very clear in I'm here to help support you. This is what I'm dealing with today. I can come back to you at X and Y. What suits you better, Mr. Customer? So just, you know, really advocating for ourselves and our own professional time as well is important. But yeah, hard work in heels has its glamour moments. But yeah, if you're going to love it, it's a great industry and it's been very good to me. And I hope many others join the industry going forward.
Yeah, that's amazing advice. Rachel Atkin, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Sam.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Elevate Podcast with thanks to Connect Now. To stay in touch with all things Elite Agent, sign up for our daily newsletter, The Brief, at eliteagent.com/subscribe.